I just realized I do have something to tell you.
Oh.
I'm a closet beatboxer.
Wait, you are?
Closet
beatboxer. Do you want to do our intro today?
Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat inebriated conversations about the intricacies of thinking about stuff in the world. See, that's what happened when I go off script.
Yep.
We are thinking about the intricacies of local things and global things and the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains, and transit. Simpler living and no ad libs. And that's today.
right.
Beers.
Beers, yes.
Lots and adventures.
And mongers thereof. We are here.
Sponsorship. Today we are covering sponsorship.
Seriously. We're in the room with four other people besides you and I. Correct. So six, is that the biggest?
This might be the biggest crowd we've had in
here.
We've
got a lot of people in it. Well, actually, no, because Bikes for Humanity and Anna and her mom. That was six people in the room at once also.
Yeah, that was also.
Okay, so anyways, there's a lot of people in the room right now. Let me go around the room and introduce everyone and two people that are not on mics. So we'll acknowledge that you're here, and you can shout in the background if you want to.
Especially wave.
Wait, try that again.
Wave
ask that question
wave to
again.
The audience.
Can we wave?
Yes, you can.
There we go.
Let's start over here. Sean Campbell.
Hi.
The Beer Mongers.
Mr. Beer Monger.
Yeah, that's me. I'm present. Yeah, and I have beer. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. And we should say thank you for sponsoring us with beverages for like 3 months now. We really appreciate it. It's made life great for us, and I hope it's made business good for you. So
thank you. I wouldn't do it if we didn't enjoy the show.
Oh,
awesome. Right. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're making me all like. Yes, thank you.
This is the most flustered I've ever seen you.
Is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
Think so.
You're not
I mean, sober
right now, bro.
Sober, right, anyways.
Right. Okay, so we'll move on around the room. Sam, I don't know your full names. Are you just Sam, or are you Sam with
Sam
a
Jackson?
Say it again.
Sam Jackson.
Okay, cool. Yes, and Sam apparently is a badass on a bicycle. Mount Rainier, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that later on.
I was also bit by a hippo.
Oh, what?
That's something I did not know. Being bit by a hippo did not factor into my pre-planning. Okay, all right. All right, sounds good.
We definitely, let's earmark that.
Put a pin in that one, yeah. Okay, and then next over here, Chris Gonzalez.
Hey, guys.
If that name sounds familiar, it's because he's one of our financial backers.
We say his name at least once every week.
Yes, or at least twice a month, or it depends on,
I mean every other week. At least once every other week.
Right,
I made the cut of the A-list.
Or Team Blue. I want to say ARB.
So it's good to see you. You're here in town. You are going to UBI, the United Bicycle Institute.
Yep, attending the Pro Bike Mechanic course. Hoping to start my own business afterwards.
Yeah, which is fantastic. And so you're learning everything at once.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say everything, but as much as they can fit into an 8-hour day, 5 days a week.
Yeah, into your head with a funnel.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So, yeah, congratulations. Wish you well. And
have you visited any or many bike shops here in town yet?
Oh, man, I have a whole list of things I'm going to do. I mean, I lived here for 9 months before, so I'm very familiar just by stopping in. And, oh, damn, I'm flatted. I need a tube, but Velocult. I'll be there.
Right on.
I'll be there. My favorite beer drinking bike place.
Yes. And so you lived here when it was open before, right?
Yeah. Okay. I lived here when it was open. The boner collection, as I call it, on the ceiling. All the real nice.
That's
old,
one way to put it.
Antiquated bikes. Yeah. They did not, however, serve food yet.
Okay. There we go. And now they do serve food. Matter of fact, should we share, like, as a public service announcement, if you used to go to Velocult and, like, bring in your own pizza
or
something?
If you consume uncooked or raw eggs, You
may get kicked out of Velocult.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's just they changed their food policy from being like, come one, come all, and, you know, yes, have your pizza party here, too. Now they are actually serving their own food, and because of that, you
no
can't.
Pizza yeah. parties.
No
over
pizza
there.
Parties.
Yeah. But you know where you can grab, like, a burrito and go and drink some beer? The
no.
Beer Mongers on
no
Southeast
way.
12th. And
You're
division.
Kidding me.
Yeah, seriously. You can sit underneath the longest wooden stick in town and eat your burrito. And,
oh, yeah, we forgot to show you
the stick.
You
forgot to point at it.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. I'll show you a picture. There's actually one on Twitter that I just retweeted not too long ago. So.
Not a dirty pick. Not like the
No, it's just
stick.
A wooden stick.
Created by Christopher Slisher, the builder of the bar at the Beer Mongers.
Oh, that's
well.
Right.
So,
so it was
yeah,
handcrafted.
Actually, this was going to yeah. be one of the questions. Is like, who did this stick? Like, who carved this stick?
Yeah, he's a friend of ours, an English carpenter, and yeah, he built right. the bar, and that was something he had in his shop that he had to get rid of, and we had a place for it.
Right
there
on.
You
go.
Iconic.
Right
yes, it
so.
Is. It is. Come to Beer Mongers. Bring your burrito. Look at the stick.
We got the fry guy now, too.
Oh, that's
so
right. Yes.
Put a little shout out for him.
And
yeah.
we noticed this is a food truck, right?
Yeah. Parked right next door. And a real young guy, Alex, he's doing great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, support that kid.
Yeah, I'm excited. I do like fries. I'm yeah. partial to them.
He makes French fries. Yeah, and they're good.
When is he there? What day is he there?
Thursday through Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Staying open late, too. So,
in a couple of days, fries.
Yeah.
And beer and a big wooden stick.
Beer Mongers.
Let's see. What's the and then over here, Terry. Hello, and thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Terry.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. And you also do adventuring, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. So that's everybody in the room. And one more thing. Every time I go over to Beer Mongers, usually Andrew is working the bar, and I ask him, "Hey, what's a little tidbit? What's something people should know about the Beer Mongers?" And so instead of the Beer Mongers tonight, I said, what's a thing that people should know about Sean? And so...
And not that long of a pause either.
No, no. He had something right kind of at hand. He said that Sean is the only guy he knows that owns a business that refuses to take free product from his business. So
that
every
still
time
pays
Sean,
for the product that
yes,
he consumes on
Every time
premises.
You see Sean at the bar, he is buying that beer from himself.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah.
I just encourage overall, paying for beer policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
An evil playing field, as it were.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, that's the penalty that you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so
that way my brother will pay when he comes in because they don't see me giving it away. And, yeah, it just goes all, you get real friendly with your customers.
Oh,
but,
sure.
Yeah, if they see my brother paying, my mother paying, then they mm-hmm. know that they will also have to pay.
Definitely.
Right on.
Even if they help
right
clean up the parking lot or, they have a Beer Mongers bike jersey. Yeah, you still pay. Yeah.
Yes.
You have a bike jersey?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so does that mean we're the only people that don't pay it? Well, I mean, we're trading
working
labor.
For your beer. Yes.
We're working for it right now.
It's an even exchange.
Okay, there we go. Gotcha.
Okay.
That makes barter.
I'm a big fan of the barter system.
Oh, okay,
that
sure.
is how the bar was built. Anything made out of wood you see there, A-frame signs or the tables, all bartered with our carpenter customers.
Barter.
Yeah, so we're able to do that. If anyone has any great ideas, they want to barter with me, I'm available.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, yeah.
What? Okay. And Terry says, just be careful.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, like, in a nutshell, how do you describe the origin story of the Beer Mongers, Sean?
So we started 2009. We opened in September, but my friend Craig and I had spent a lot of time planning a store maybe 2 years before that. And we just thought it'd be a store. We wanted to sell beer. We love beer, have it well organized and just the best beer. Maybe 6-8 months after we opened, we knew Christopher and people wanted a bar, like a place to hang out that just wasn't a store. So it sort of evolved from that. We got some tables. We got some chairs as well. And, set up more of a beer bar with draft beer. And division in 12th wasn't much of a thing in 2009.
So this is working out nicely for you.
Yeah, it's taken off. There's so many more people around. All the businesses that have opened in the Ford building and restaurants around, Barelick Brewing down the street.
Oh, right.
So, it's been great. And Craig left the business a couple of years ago. We had a mutual parting of the ways. He's still a good customer. he still pays for his beer.
That works out well, too.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and it's really been just a kind of a whole community thing. We've had great staff that work there. You know, I'm glad to hear Andrew takes care of you.
Right.
But, yeah, the staff has been great. I've been very fortunate that way. And, yeah, we do, you know, stuff. My brother has a bike team, you know, that we do cyclocross sponsorship with. And, yeah, some things like that that have just helped develop, like, a community feel about the place.
There we go.
Yeah, so Terry and I lived in England when we were growing up. I worked in a pub when I was 18, and I always felt that beer was a good way to get people together that don't always interact. So I think we have a lot of good interaction with people that are, you know, don't know each other, and they get together over a beer.
Totally, yeah. Well, and I noticed there's a wonderfully convivial atmosphere in this place. Every time I've gone in there, it's like, these are people who are not, they're not trying to be cool. They're just trying to drink beer.
Yeah. And yeah, we meet all kinds of great folks. Krista, who you've had on, and Eric are customers. And they brought in a whole nother group of people that, yeah, enjoy biking. They get around safe. They can have some beers. Yeah. So it's really, it's just like a neighborhoody spot. But with the far reach, I mean, it's centered around beer. And I feel like we're experts in a beer town.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we try to do the best we can that way.
Works out nicely. Yeah, and we should mention again, I think, did we talk about this last week?
We talked about it last week. We walked out
with a free copy. Now, Chris Gonzalez is holding in his hand his free copy of the Beeriotic Table of Elements.
Oh, yeah.
And so, did you come up with this, Sean?
It was something Craig and I did with actually just a business right across the street, Rhino Digital Printing.
Okay, right there.
Uh-huh. They did all the graphic layout. They did an awesome job. And, yeah, Craig and I laid it out because we wanted to help people pick beers that they might like or might try something new.
It's like those music comparison charts. If you like this, you might like this.
Very similar, yeah. And we have the store kind of set up that way. You know, things are arranged by style more than who makes it, or and it's a little more labor intensive, but it's great.
Yeah, so. Well, and Chris, you noticed that right away. You're like, oh, I know where I can go for the beer I like.
Yeah, and it's a completely different way of organization that it's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to spend 10 minutes staring at a beer aisle going, where is the beer that I like?
True.
You're like, true.
Like most stores, it's by manufacturer, by brewer.
Yeah.
And say, I don't know, say I liked stouts, and I'm looking for a new stout.
Say you like stouts.
Say I liked stouts.
I wish I had my laugh track on here.
and I'm looking for like something different, but you know, all I know is, like, I don't know, whatever brewery that I've been drinking. And to go to another brewer and just kind of look around, totally lost. Like, and I could find out that this brewer doesn't even make a stout. They're maybe only mainly IPAs or whatever.
Yep. No, that's exactly why we laid it out that way. It's a really great idea. And salespeople don't prefer it, but the store is for the customers. So that was early... Yeah, decision. I'm glad it's noticed.
Have you had to, like, fight with distributors about it?
Not fight, but discuss.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to do it. Early on, it was different. Now we have a great relationship with people because it's a fun place. We get a lot of them in the store. But, yeah, early on, they were like, no. That's, you know, they like to come in and see their products and do the order and get out of there. Now sometimes guys hang out. That'll be their last stop. So so it's worked out great. But that's exactly what you mentioned is why we do it, is so people, they know they like this certain beer. Next to it is something that's similar that you haven't tried. So, yeah. So
there's always a seat for you at the beer mongers, and there's also always a beer for you at the beer mongers.
I would like to think so. Absolutely.
Yeah. How important is the definite article to you in the name?
it's pretty important.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if somebody just said, like, oh, I'm going over to beer mongers.
Clerical
error.
We like it because it's on the sign and on the graphics. But there's also, since we've opened a business in Pennsylvania called Beer Mongers. Which is fine. I don't think we're fighting for the same customers, but and there's also a kind of awkward metal band from the Midwest called Beer Mongers.
Really?
May or may not be politically correct in Portland. Yeah. They have some videos online and, you can see those. So yeah, again, another reason to be the Beer Mongers. Yeah.
The only one.
Yeah.
I mean, even if there are others. First. Okay, there we go. First in beer mongering. Okay, yeah. Chris, do you want to say anything else about your experience up here? You have been doing some Petalpalooza-ing?
Oh, well, I just well, Petalbluza tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Tour de Francia.
Oh, right.
Are you doing
I will be there.
Just get a big box of wine.
I know.
Ride.
Well, now I'm trying to figure out how I can like attach it to my bike or maybe like attach a tube so I don't even have to like hold it up above me.
There are ways.
Yeah, I know.
There are ways.
I'm thinking. Yeah. Thinking.
I mean, you could probably make yourself a pretty, and not saying you should do this on the public streets. That would be wrong, irresponsible,
hypothetically
and
speaking.
Illegal. But yes.
Riding around in the parking lot of beer mongers.
That's right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Not only are they okay with you bringing in your burrito, you can also do track stands in the parking lot and drink Franzia. Yeah, couldn't you set up like a tube or kind of like the Camelback system?
Yeah.
Like you could probably get some tubing
and
put it on that little nozzle.
Or maybe like a beer helmet, but a Franzia helmet.
A Franzia helmet.
Cut a hole in the box and wear it.
I mean, part of the charm is the box, but if you take it out of the box, it's just this amorphous bag, right? You could just set the bag on your head and it'll conform to your...
Well, they make wine bras for women, but I don't...
So the wine bro.
That's
the wine bro.
Yeah.
They have one for beer for guys. It's more of a belly.
There you go.
Yeah.
So really the simplest technology is just like a t-shirt that's tucked in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I would say get yourself a white wine or a, you know, a Zinfandel or whatever. But get that and make sure it's chilled because if you're carrying it that close to your body, it'd be a hot day anyways. You want something cold.
Yeah, it'd be a hot day.
Yeah, that'll help cool you.
Like
it'll also keep the wine like more palatable for longer. Unless you get a red and you just like heat that sucker up in the sun. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Depends on your taste. You could do whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Well, hopefully I remember on, what is it, Thursday?
Yeah. No,
well, tomorrow?
It's tomorrow, but hopefully I'll remember Wednesday afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. Yeah. Anything else you're planning on doing while you're here in Portland?
Well, definitely going to every bike shop that I've ever admired on Instagram. Like
perfect, yeah.
Kenton Bicycle Repair. I want to go just ogle all of their custom racks and just look at it, basically.
Yeah, and Kenton is kind of a cool place, too. I don't get up there that often. But
no.
I mean, I ride like a mile away from it every day, but I don't go that way. So
yeah,
it's a cool neighborhood.
And it's my first time really spending some time in North Portland. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, other than ogling all the gentrification, it's
true.
It's pretty cool to see all the different niches of community that have popped up there that weren't there 2 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. If I'm not mistaken, the Paul Bunyan statue has been there forever.
Paul Bunyan.
Yes. Large statue of Paul Bunyan up in North Portland, up in Kenton. And also the Dancing Bear, which
is an awesome name.
The Dancing Bear, which is a strip club. Haven't been there. I'm not really a strip club guy, but I am entertained whenever I go up there because the sign has like a cartoon dancing bear that's been like X'd out. And then next to it, just in case you thought, you know, in case you didn't like understand the pun, there are actually naked ladies in here. So yeah, the bear has been X'd out on the sign.
Do they require them to not be shaven?
I do not know. That would go beyond my experience, I think.
I just feel like Portland's known for so many things, and it's known for strip clubs. So why don't they specialize as much as all the bike shops and the beer places do?
There are specialized strip clubs. So yeah why not like an all natural?
Sassy's is the best beer selection. They have frequent beer events there. Again, I'm not vastly experienced, but excellent tap list at Sassy's, so I've heard.
We'll just close this out with the idea that Oregon is the Beaver State. So, well, why don't we, can I have you guys change places? And Aaron, why don't you and I update each other on what happened
sure.
in the week? Can I go first?
Yes. You
because
seem
I'm
very
super
enthusiastic
excited
about this.
I did the music and bikes ride number 2.
Oh, yeah.
Or bikes and music. I haven't decided which order that goes in. Anyways, bikes and music are both there.
You should just interchange them all the time.
I think, I keep saying music and bikes, so I think that might be the way that I go from here. But we took like 25 people out on the street again, and this time I wore my tiger suit.
Oh, Armando tweeted a picture of that.
Yes. My favorite part of the ride was meeting up at the bar that we were at, and the tiger suit I was wearing because I wanted to wear something distinctive. I wanted to make it fun. I wanted to make it a little bit different. And so the way that things worked out, I ended up queuing up a playlist that I had designed based on requests. So it was the all request ride.
Right.
So I got everybody
Was it last week or the week before that?
I had taken requests before. This time I was just like, you know what? The only reason people are here is because they want to hear their song. So it's like a jukebox, you know.
Yeah.
You don't hang
yeah.
around to listen to other people's jukebox selections. And so I just like put together a whole playlist, about an hour and a half of songs that people liked. Crossfaded them so there was no awkward silences.
Oh, good.
And then also, let's see. Oh, I also cut out like all the ballady parts. Like for example, Springsteen's "Thunder Road."
Yes.
Great song. First half is like not that exciting to listen to when you're on a bike ride. So I just like mixed it right in as soon as the drums kicked in, and that was yeah. So it was like half of Thunder Road, but so that was really fun. But my favorite part, the part that I enjoyed personally the most,
besides the tiger suit and the jukeboxy thing,
in addition to the tiger suit, what I had going on was I put my song, my request, up front so I could turn that on and get people's attention.
Right.
And so I was playing the song that I wanted to hear, and I danced in the tiger suit to this song that I like.
Nice.
Until I had everyone's attention, I was like, okay, now we're going to roll out. So that was fun.
That's a really good like sort of call to action there.
Right. And nobody wants to hear my song anyway, so you know, put that up front where no one's paying attention.
There you go.
Well,
it's... Yeah, you go ahead. I'm about to go off on one of my Puddlepalooza rides, I'll wait until you finish.
Okay.
But
well, that,
earmark start of ride.
Yes.
As a segue here.
Okay, sounds good. The only other thing I was going to say is that I went on a bike camping trip this weekend with a bunch of people.
That's correct.
And I ended up sleeping in the middle of a cottonwood grove, which I believe I am allergic to. And in the middle of the Willamette Valley, which grows a bunch of grass, which I am also allergic to.
Got some shaking of heads here.
Yeah. So, sorry about that, Terry.
It's all right. That was a bad move.
It was. So I didn't realize. I didn't even think about it. And Shampooey State Park, where we went, beautiful place. Within a day's ride of Portland, easily. Great place to hang out. But this particular time of year, tons, a shitload of pollen in the air. And so I was camping in this grove where the bicycle camp is. And the way it worked out is in the morning I woke up and there's like the God rays when the you know, the sun comes down through the trees and it kind of cuts through and you can see like in the shaft of light, you can see like what's floating around in the air. And there was so much fucking pollen in the air. It was just like I was like, this makes perfect sense. Because I don't often wake up with like my mouth completely dried out, but I did that time. Part of it was because I had like a bunch of alcohol the night before, but also pollen. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, good trip. I really enjoyed it, and a lot
don't
of people
don't go down the Springwater Trail. Then it's just like on each side, it's like snowbanks,
definitely
of cottonwood pollen.
Totally, yeah. And so, at the end of the trip, we came down one way, kind of from south to west. I don't know. Anyways, we went back up to Hillsboro so that people could catch the Max. But after we got there, I was kind of like, well, number one, I had a bob trailer, and technically you can't take that on the light rail.
Right.
And so I was like, what if I just rode home from here? So what was going to be like a 40-mile day ended up being like a 65-mile day like that. Yeah.
So when I saw you, when I ran into you on Clinton Street,
I was fucking wasted. Well, and I was tired.
Yeah. You'd been drinking for a while.
Yeah.
But also, you just finished 60 miles worth of day.
That's right. Yeah. So Josh Guttmacher was on the trip with us.
Uh-huh.
And maybe should I... I don't know if he likes his name being shared. Who does he care? We said it already. He's been a guest.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Josh Guttmacher was
on
the ride.
People know his name.
Yeah. And so, he was there and he was like, hey, I'll go with you. And so he goes. And then Delaney's like, I want to go too. And so all three of us.
Started this exodus?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we all, like all the people that were on the trip, kind of like we were hanging out. We went to Taco Bell and got like foods. But it was like the first time we'd seen civilization in hours and hours and hours.
Right.
And so like, we just like food, I want it now. And, I left them to go and catch the Max and take that home. And then the three of us set out and we're like, this is going to be awesome. And then like, you know, halfway there, we're like going through the endless suburbia of Beaverton, kind of like ascending the west slope of the hills. And it was just like hot, super hot, like probably as hot as it is now. Like
regretting your decision.
Oh shit. It was the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I did it, but that was a very difficult experience.
Yeah.
So anyways, go out and push yourself, people. Do something. Do something you hate. It builds character.
There you go.
That was
go to Taco Bell. Do something you hate.
That was a Bill Watterson quote, I think. So you, sir, beginning rides.
Beginning rides.
And while you tell me about this, who has a bottle opener in here? I used to.
That's a twist off, buddy.
Oh, this is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, really? I've been
heart can be twisted off. There we go.
I've been prying him off with the bottle opener every time. Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. This is the Lionheart Kombucha Ginger Fix.
Yep.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter mile from here.
Quarter mile from here, you say?
Yeah, that's where they make
it. It's very local. Hyper local. So starting a ride.
So starting a ride, if you're, okay, people, ride leaders, Pedalpalooza, if you're leading a ride, you want to get started, thank you. Start at the time that you've designated. I don't care who comes in and says, like, oh, my buddy is going to be here in like 10 minutes. You wait that 10 minutes, someone else is going to come and be like, my buddy's going to be here in 10 minutes. And then it's an hour later. And you have at least two people in your group pissed off that we're not riding yet. Anyways, that said,
yes,
I had an enjoyable time at the heavy metal marriage ride.
Oh, that happened already.
It was actually really cool.
Okay, yeah. And this is what is
but
this
it
is
just
two people
took
that
fucking forever to get started.
Okay, there we go. So this is connected.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And all right, to be fair, a couple of the people that were running late were the people who got married.
Okay.
In, you know, the reason for this ride. So.
It wouldn't be a wedding without that.
Right. Right. It was pretty cool. It still would have been a ride. That's true. We still could have rode without them. And we still, like, no one's going to stop us from listening to heavy metal. We could have rode to them. I don't know. Anyway. No, this is a common malady. Granted, it's the West Coast, and, you know, I'm all uptight East Coast, so that might
yeah,
have
you
something
are
to do with it.
You're so uptight. And you're so East Coast.
I'm so East Coast. Or Midwest, I guess.
You're so Whatever. Third Coast.
Yeah, I'm Middle Coast.
Yeah.
Anyhow. yeah, it's just a common malady of rides in general. Like, anytime you hear, like, going across the crowd, 5 minutes! That usually means, like, 10, 15,
hey,
half hour.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't say that.
No.
Yeah.
No. So I like your idea of, like, you put on your tune, you dance.
In a tiger suit.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So ride leaders, get yourself a tiger suit.
I was on my tall bike.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It was still an enjoyable ride. We ducked out early, though. Just
for another ride?
No.
Oh.
Because
you don't make out in the bushes?
We're old.
Okay.
Because I wanted to make out in the bushes. No. I got to wait till I'm at home first.
Okay. So.
So, but that was a good ride. The last two rides I was on last night and today were rides consisting of two people, myself included.
Two people.
Yes. So last night, my Pedalpalooza ride was Aaron and Anna try to find Grill by Bike Ride.
Try to find an organized bike ride.
Yeah. And that was not quite as fun.
And it was not as fun as they had thought. Sorry.
Keep playing that up. This might actually make the story better.
Okay.
I don't know. And then this afternoon, I went on the multimedia ride.
He went on a multimedia ride.
And it was. I think a cool concept, but...
It was a cool concept.
Only three of us showed, and the other guy took off, like...
It was not right well attended.
Right as we left. So it was just me and this other dude, like, awkwardly drawing in Oaks Bottom.
Just two dudes having a good time.
In Oaks Bottom.
That sounds like fun. I mean, sometimes...
Yeah, it's cool, and it's going to be, like, every Monday. So if nothing else, I've got, like... some time weekly to just kind of draw and
right
chill, you know?
Continuously, like every Monday here on out forever.
Well, no, for Pedalpalooza.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, that's
next
cool.
Two Mondays in June.
Yeah. Well, I just pulled up the Pedalpalooza calendar. Should we advise anybody on stuff coming up, the 16th through the 22nd?
We should. There was a couple interesting ones. Unfortunately,
definitely. Hey, I've got it right over here.
Okay.
Don't mention the time. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All times are like a half hour early.
Exactly.
So tomorrow's the Gladys Bikes shop beers.
Tomorrow? Oh, wait, tomorrow?
Yeah. No.
It's on Wednesday. Well, by the time people hear this. Yeah.
The 10th.
Yeah. And actually, we're promoting a week out because we talked about
last week.
So we're going to talk about the 16th and the
22nd. Yeah, let's do that. So in that case, fuck cancer, let's ride.
Yes.
I'm totally all for this. I'm usually not awake at 8 o'clock, but...
Oh, wow. 8 a.m.
doing this. Yep.
Wow. That's a pre-work ride.
Especially since, like, Mondays and Tuesdays are really just nobody schedules Pedalpalooza rides for those days.
True.
So there's
It's also your day off.
And it's, yeah, and those happen to be my days off.
Weekend.
Thanks, Pedal Palooza. yeah, so there's that. And then Sunset Mystery is also that day, which I think is pretty cool.
Sunset Mystery.
For those who like the whole mystery ride but don't necessarily want to stay up till midnight to
That's my
get
ride.
Started.
Yeah, that is my there ride.
Go. There you go. Well, Tuesday, you're going to be gone. Though.
I'm going to be in Eugene, yeah. Other Palooza.
Yeah, so, and then Wednesday, really none of those sounded good to me.
Wednesday sucks.
Wednesday sucks. reverse commute is a great concept. It's from Beaverton to Portland and finding a good ride. So
nice.
If you happen to be from Beaverton and wanting to look for a good commute, I would say the reverse commute would be right up your alley.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah. Thursday the 18th, Heavy Hill Bike Climb. Every year I miss it. I'm going to miss it again this year.
Get your big-ass bike.
But it's a really fucking good concept. Like,
ride up
yeah,
a big-ass hill.
You're going to ride up to Council Crest.
On your cruiser.
On your cruiser or whatever. Your bike has to weigh 40 pounds. And if it doesn't weigh 40 pounds, they're going to load you up with beer and like whatever your
That's
bike can
great.
Carry.
That's great. Do they have a scale?
It's led by Sean Granton.
So
and
probably.
He would be the kind of guy to bring a scale.
He's very precise, yeah.
Yeah. Next up. Friday the 19th, got to mention again, breakfast on the bridges every morning or every Friday morning.
Free breakfast,
during
people.
Pedalpalooza. Another one would be the, what is it? Oh, yeah, the Several G ride.
Several G.
Yeah, it's just the letter G themed.
Oh,
and
so anything.
I guess
ride brought to you by.
This, yes, brought
nice.
To you by the letter G. Whoever
That's
started
fantastic.
This started when... Pedalpalooza was first getting going. They
oh, because it was the letter A?
Yeah.
Oh, and there's successive. Oh, this is cool.
Yeah. So if for nothing else, if you partake in this ride, you're like partaking in a long tradition.
It's like a generational ride.
Exactly. Exactly.
That starts with G.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, whoever's leading this ride, if you're listening. There you go. The 20th, Sweet Peeps. That is, if you own a Sweet Pea bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
You're all gathering right there.
The old Schwinn?
Even if, no.
No. Oh, Sweet Pea. I was thinking of the pea picker. Okay,
yes.
Sweet Pea.
Built by Natalie Ramslin.
Right. Of Snack Parade.
Yes, also of Snack Parade.
Yeah.
So if you own a Sweet Pea bike, you can like all gather there.
Totally.
Or if you just like Sweet Pea bikes. Or
if you're a Snack Parade podcast fan.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
if you haven't listened to the Snack Parade podcast yet, you should.
You probably should.
Because those ladies are awesome.
Yes.
I want more.
Also,
Snack Parade.
Also, I'm going to miss this ride, unfortunately, but this is one of the biggest every year, and that is the Get Lost ride.
Oh, yeah. This is. Do you guys know about this one? The Get Lost ride is...
It is great. It's
Big Fuzzy Dice. Amos Hunter's been doing this for years.
Yes.
You get in a group, and what is it? It's like odd or even?
So the number corresponds to how many blocks you're going to go.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know. I might have this reversed. I'll just say... Odd is you turn left, even as you turn right.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then number so many blocks.
And what is doubles? Oh,
doubles
is
straight. Yeah.
Doubles is straight, yeah.
But then you're just like all afternoon, you're riding around town. You have no idea where you're going to be. No one knows, not even the ride leader.
The last couple of years, it's still been a loop. You've ended up like back to where
like it's statistically
started.
Probable that you're going to turn what? More right turns than left turns?
Yes.
Huh.
I guess. I don't know.
That could be they loaded the dice.
Fuzzy dice there.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't try that, so who knows? So, yes, that's a good ride.
Yeah. Sunday, it's bike play. Sunday is bike play.
Oh, it's the it's a stage play in various locations.
Yep. It usually has some sort of bike theme. I wasn't there last year, but the year before they did sort of like sort of. What was the not the pod people? It was this schlocky kind of 50s.
Oh, sure.
Thing kind of like Pod People, but it's not what it was based on. But also like rewritten for bikes, and bikes became sentient and
totally
kind of took people over.
That's
but anyways,
awesome.
It was great. It was a great play. It was well done.
Yeah,
and then you got to like ride to every scene. It was like in different places.
I like that idea.
Yeah,
it's
really
like
cool
a progressive
idea.
Dinner, except you don't get fed.
No.
Yeah.
Now I just got a great idea for, like, you know, a Pedalpalooza ride.
Is it a progressive theater where you do get fed?
Yes.
Okay.
Only there's no, like, script.
Okay. Spontaneous. It's the Get Lost play.
There you go.
Yeah.
with food.
Odd, it's Shakespeare, even it's something else.
Yes. Yeah. And this has been your Pedalpalooza wrap-up.
All right.
Thanks. Oh, one thing I do want to mention, the Guthrie ride I went on.
Oh, yeah. I missed that.
It was pretty awesome. But this is hilarious. I was at, well, so there's been some changes in Vancouver.
Vancouver, Washington.
Some infrastructural changes. Uh-huh. And the path we took last year was not blocked by a fence.
Oh.
But it was this year.
Interesting.
And so, like, we all had to, like, climb this fence and, like, people would hand their bikes over this chain link fence.
Wow, wow. So is this like a fully flagrant against the law, sort of just like we're riding this path no matter what? Or
well, kind of.
But wearing helmets, so being compliant at the same time.
Yeah, only for, and I did wear a helmet.
Look at you.
Night. Yeah. I think only because, and I'm going to have to ask Guthrie this in person.
Okay.
But only because, like, there wasn't really much of an alternate route.
Mm, yeah. No other way through.
We were going, yeah.
You can't get there from here.
No. So, yeah, so we went over the fence. I was the last one over the fence, and so I'm taking up the end, and after this fence is a pretty steep hill, and I start going up this hill, and there's a woman who was on the ride, like, fiddling with her bike. I ask her if everything's okay. She's like, yeah, it's fine, just the chain is broken. But, like, by the time, like, you could see just, and it's, like, midnight-ish at this point.
Okay.
You'd see just all the lights kind of getting further and further away. So I'm like, okay, I should stay with her and, you know, see if she'll,
right,
know, let her catch up.
I'm not going to, like, lose her in the barbarous north.
Right, right. She can't fix her bike, so I end up working on it. Almost had to take apart the chain.
Really?
To get it to fix.
Okay.
Didn't have to. But anyways, we get going, and I tell her, like, if you're here with friends, you probably should give them a call, let them know, like, we're at this point, we're 15 minutes behind.
Yeah. And she says, I have no friends.
No.
Oh, okay.
I have no friends. No, she calls her husband and says, like, by the way, honey, you know, you guys lost us.
What the fuck?
We're coming. She was actually really nice about it.
Okay.
But we're 15 minutes out, and I can't see anybody.
Yeah.
I took the same path last year, so I'm kind of going on some vague memory.
Okay.
But it was dark out last year when we did this,
right,
so I'm not entirely sure.
Is this along the waterfront?
It was.
Okay.
And then we're coming away and trying to get on Evergreen to to the 205.
That's my least favorite part of that ride.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to find. Like, you get in the park and you're like, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
It doesn't help. Yep. There's like a dead end trail that goes off, like, down to, like, the woods.
Yeah. And there was some other things going on involving the police that I need to ask Guthrie about.
Oh.
Too. Like
the police.
I was at the tail end of the ride. Yeah. I was
really?
At the tail end of the ride. So I don't know exactly what happened. But for a while, we were just at a dead stop and there were, like, cops talking to Guthrie at the front.
They're like, what are you doing here, man?
I don't know. Yeah, it was huge. It was huge. Yeah, Portland Creep. We're just scouting it out. It's a good place for a cart pod.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I swear, there's going to be like 5-story buildings and poutine here in like a year.
And a vegan strip club.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, so we get caught up, and this story is already longer than it needs to be, but I think this is worth telling in that her husband was waiting for us and was just, like, pissed off.
At her?
At
you?
I went to, like, shake the guy's hand, and he totally, like, cold-shouldered me.
I saw you with my wife.
I don't know. Right. And we get to the 205 trail, and we go to take off, and the husband and his friend just rock it off on the 205 trail.
This sounds like
a minute. Your wife is right back here. Like, she doesn't. She said several times she doesn't know where she's going. Anyways,
this is a very interesting relationship.
I'm gonna do more later, but it was just weird.
Yeah.
I think maybe he was trying to ditch her in Vancouver.
He had a plan.
The perfect crime. Oh, we got a fence. I'm going to leave her behind here.
She'll never find her way across the river again.
She said she doesn't know where she's going.
That's right.
Wow, what dark humor right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you were able to help. This is a good thing.
And we made it home.
Yeah. So. Also, Guthrie is going to be next week. Is it next week's co-host?
Next week's co-host.
Nice.
Actually, we're going to try to do a little bonus episode tomorrow.
Nice. So. I'm very excited.
Look forward to that, listeners.
Yeah, yeah. sounds like a plan. Well, let's see. I think we've covered just about everything we need to. Let's talk to Terry and Sam. First off, Terry, you're on a bike team.
Correct.
Yeah, and this is the Beer Mongers bike team.
Yeah, it's the Beer Mongers Cycle Club. Yep, we started in 2010. Mostly just a bunch of friends that had been active doing mountaineering stuff through the Mazamas, and a lot of people mountain biked, but we all got hooked on cyclocross.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of like the perfect hybrid, right?
It is a pretty darn good hybrid, and it's an awesome thing to do rain or shine. Like, cyclocross race is way better when it's raining out and
right.
muddy.
But you can still do it if it's dry.
You can still do it when it's dry. So it's good to have those types of activities around this town because you never know what you're going to get.
That's true.
And,
wow. I never thought about that. That makes cyclocross the perfect Portland pastime.
Pretty much. And it's, beer is definitely part of that culture. The Belgians are the best at cyclocross in the world.
Yeah.
Belgian beer is pretty good. So that flowed in good. So I had never done any cycling before that riding around town. But, and so, man, 10 years ago, I would have never seen myself in a pair of, sorry, guys, spandex, but
uh-oh.
You can't really mount and remount a cyclocross bike safely, but having baggy shorts on, that would be a bad move
well,
all around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so here's the thing. We should reiterate, like, my position on spandex right now is that, like, if you need
constantly evolving, yes.
If you need it, you should wear it.
Yeah.
I just don't think that as many people need it as think they do.
Fair enough.
You know, to ride your bike around town, You don't have to have special clothes to do that.
No.
Anybody can ride a bike.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely.
To slam your junk onto a bike in motion. Like jumping.
You want to know where that junk is at.
That's right.
Like jumping out of the second story.
Where it's going.
That's right.
Of a facade in a Western film onto the back of a horse. It's like that.
Exactly.
There you go.
So we started that, and then, I mean, from there, we do a lot of fun stuff, though. This past weekend, a bunch of us were down on the McKenzie to do the McKenzie road ride that you can do up the McKenzie Highway.
Okay,
bunch of the Beer Monger Cycle Club people were down there.
Beautiful. So, how many strong is the Beer Monger Cycle Team?
25 or 30.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's fine.
Do they all come out to every one, or is it kind of we have majority of quorum or something?
20 solid.
Okay.
Every weekend.
Nice.
So it's good, and then there's people that come and go.
That's great.
Yeah, it's fun.
Nice. What is this an open sort of thing? Can other people come and join these events, or is it exclusive to the Beer Monger Cycling Team?
This type of event this past weekend was just a bunch of friends, one group of people that organized the campground down there at the McKenzie River.
Yeah.
We mostly still get together mostly for cyclocross races, and those are obviously open to anybody. But,
right, right.
And the club, I mean, I we go by BMCC when we're, because it's easier than saying Beer Monger Cycle Club.
Oh, sure, yes.
I really would rather.
But it's not TBMCC?
Good point.
Okay.
No, we use.
Got to redo those shirts now.
Yeah, exactly. Damn it, those jerseys are wrecked.
Okay.
No, but I'd like to change that club to community, because it really is just a group of friends.
Okay, right.
And like new friends. Like, I swear there's been really good friendships built out of this community or club or team.
That's great.
And and yeah, we like I said, like, enjoy doing all sorts of things on bikes. And
yeah,
there's a beer at the end of the road, and
that's beautiful.
Lots of good fun.
How essential is it to own a car to do this?
What, cyclocross, not essential. We definitely have a few team members that don't own cars, and there's plenty of carpooling that goes along on that.
So you have to know a guy.
You might need to know a guy, but a lot of the races, cyclocross races, I mean, I encourage you guys to come out and sit in our tent this summer and do a show, or this autumn, and do a show from a cyclocross race. You guys would be hilarious.
Gauntlet thrown.
We become sports commentators.
No, it's not even. It would just be observations of Portland cyclocross culture. You guys would be top notch. Anyways.
Can we set up a powered speaker and broadcast while we're sitting there?
Absolutely.
Can we talk to the crowd or whatever?
I think you totally could.
All right.
People that run the Cross Crusade are always up for fun stuff. I mean, And a lot of the races are very easy to get to. I mean, they're at PIR or Alpenrose or
totally Barton Park. Barton Park was the one. That's the one place I've been to see a cyclocross race before.
Yeah.
And that's a great little setup out there. It's not actually the park itself. It's like some like some lumber yard or something. But
yeah, gravel pit, basically.
Okay,
yeah.
Like a quarry.
Yep.
But yeah, what a great spot.
Mm-hmm.
And So, all right. We're in. We'll talk later about the details.
I think you guys would be have a good time.
Excellent. Yeah. And I have a Bob trailer, so we can totally bring all of our gear out.
Yeah.
Did you say beer?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so we have your adventure, Sam, to talk about.
Okay.
And so, hippo wrestling.
And
hippo,
yes.
Hippo.
So why don't we start with the hippo, because that sounds intriguing.
It's a pretty lame story.
I know even less about this than I do about the Mount Rainier thing. So, enlighten us, please.
We were in Africa 15 years ago.
Okay.
And we're in a canoe safari, and they're like, "Hey, you know, there's like a 5% chance the hippos will come over and they'll like knock you out of the water."
Ah.
And I'm like, whatever. So we're like paddling along.
But they're known to be like really aggressive in the wild.
No one tells you that.
5% is not very aggressive, actually.
5%
like
seems fine.
Well, yeah, but once that 5% happens.
They're just like, you'll get knocked into the water and then just don't flail because they're crocodiles. Okay, let's go.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
No, so we're going and it's like Africa hot out. And I'm like, my brother was in the back of the canoe, and I'm like, you know, it wouldn't be that bad to be knocked in the water because it's really, really hot. And everyone else was like really far away from us. And then there was like a pod. That's the name of a group of hippos.
Oh, really?
In case people didn't know.
Just like a pod of orcas.
Yeah.
Pod of hippos.
Yeah, pod.
Or pod of food carts.
And their milk is pink.
Their milk is pink?
Yeah, apparently, and it's really gross.
Oh, okay.
I haven't had it, but I've been told.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Now you know things.
Not a lot of call for hippo milk then.
No. Hippo meat's actually nasty too. Anyway, so we start paddling on the right side of the canoe to get away from this group, and then one of the hippos comes out of the water and grabs my arm.
Wow.
Didn't like grab it with its
right,
hooves
with its
or
giant
anything.
Teeth or
but yeah, so like one of the tusks or whatever went
a monster's
through my
mouth,
arm.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, they're freaking huge.
So impaled?
Yeah, went
oh, yeah.
Not
there's,
that you can see it.
Holy
like
shit.
On audio. But
yeah, but you're pointing at your arm, and I can see there is actually a very discernible scar there.
It used to look
there.
Really cool. Now it just kind of
It
looks
still looks
lame.
Cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was a tattoo for a minute, but.
Oh, no, there's a hippo tattoo.
Oh, there it is.
There. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was really weird that it like just missed the tattoo.
That really is strange.
Yeah, it's odd. So anyway, I got fucked up by a hippo.
Okay.
And then
so you landed in the water or
yeah, I don't really remember that part. I just remember being in the water and I'm like, oh shit, my glasses are gonna go away and I won't be able to see.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like you got your arm impaled and you're thinking, where are my glasses?
Well, I can't, you know, and you can't see.
Well, right. Your benefits don't come around for like another 2 years.
Right. So. That's like $59.
I know, yeah.
No, so then I'm like, well, whatever like bit me is like a shark or something, so it's gonna come underneath and like get my legs.
Uh huh.
So then
that's what
just,
you were looking for.
Yeah, I mean there were no sharks though.
Okay,
right.
But
right.
Crocodiles.
Yeah, there are crocodiles, and like apparently I was waving my arm all around.
Wow.
And there's like blood flying
splurting everywhere.
That sounds terrifying.
And someone's like, maybe you shouldn't do that, but all I heard was like,
and the impending,
yeah,
whatever.
No, they make a weird noise.
Do they?
I don't know if you have a thing on there.
I don't.
You don't have a hippo.
I could look it up.
I can kind of make a version.
I'd like
it.
To hear your approximation.
This is a little embarrassing.
Okay, there we go.
Like, wow. It's
really
yeah. It's
so kind of like a seal almost.
Yeah, it was supposed to be more manly than that. But
okay, like a really manly seal.
A manly seal. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so we like go to this island and they like kind of patch me up and then we like. Figure shit out and do like a 9-hour drive to Harare because we were in the middle of nowhere. I'll omit the crying part before the drive.
Ain't no thing.
Ain't no thing. And the guy's like, so this is the AIDS highway. This is where AIDS came out of the thing. And I'm just like.
Good to know.
I'm like, I want to go home.
Carried by large mammals first, right?
Yeah. I mean, not that they're, it's not commute. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it.
That's fascinating. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm glad that the tusk missed your tattoo.
Yeah, it did. That's really, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. So tell us about Mount Rainier, because did both of you guys participate in this together?
Yeah, it was us.
Okay, so what happened?
Dude, it's your idea. Well, like a few years ago, Terry's, I saw him at a cycle, no, at a dirt bike race.
Okay.
And I had met him at the gym once, and I'd been wanting, yeah, the climbing gym, not like 24 hour fitness.
Not like the getting huge gym.
No. Yeah, we weren't like doing curls and be like, you're a handsome man.
It was at the Rock. There's nothing wrong with that.
It was at the Rock gym. I'm like,
okay.
He's a handsome man.
Yes.
No, so we're sitting there and he's like, dude, so I'm going to like go climb Rainier, or no, Jefferson a few years ago. And I'm like, fuck, I want to climb Jefferson. And he's like, we're going to bike there. I'm like, I want to bike there. So I kind of. In my mind, I invited myself along on this trip because he didn't know me.
Does this square with your story?
I didn't. I was looking for other suckers that were stupid enough to ride their bike with all their gear to Jefferson and climb it. So, yeah, I was inspired by this fellow, Goran Krupp, who's a Swedish guy.
Okay.
Who rode his bike with all his own gear from Sweden to Mount Everest.
Yeah.
Climbed it basically twice because he got weathered off like several hundred feet from the summit.
And how do you spell that guy's name?
Goran, G-O-R-A-N. And his last name is Krupp.
K-R-U-P-P.
Yep. K-R-O-P-P. And
all right.
Yeah. And he and then he rode his bike back to Sweden after climbing Everest.
That's badass.
And there's video footage of him going down some highway in Pakistan or something, or in India with this trailer that's as long as his room. And he's taken all, he took all his own food,
climbing gear and
a lot of his own food along the way.
Holy
like
shit.
He has a really good book. Anyways, he was obviously an amazing adventurer, athlete, whatnot. And was on a climbing trip to the Northwest back in the early 2000s and took a rock climbing fall out near, like, the Gorge Amphitheater and died.
Oh, no.
Right. So I learned about this guy from kind of, as I mentioned earlier, climbing and whatnot, and thought that we have mountains around here. We could kind of start doing some of this stuff ourselves.
It's like Everest.
Right.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, so anyway, so, like, as I mentioned, we have this cycling team. A lot of the founding folks were from this kind of mountaineering group of friends. And so we rode to Mount Hood one year, climbed it, rode home. And the whole idea of bike tour mountaineering is like just to do a bike tour while you're taking the mountaineering stuff with you or the climbing stuff. And, you know, it's not that much more gear than you would camping. You just need to know a little few different skills to get to that higher elevation. So then I met up with Sam. I remember running into him on Mount Tabor one time. I think I was jogging and he was riding his bike and I hadn't seen him in a while. I'm like, hey, I think some of us are going to Jefferson this year. Do you want to go? And he was all for it. So
nice.
So we did that.
So we rode to Mount Jefferson and back. We had a buddy, Kyle Heddy, who came with us. He tried to ride his Brompton out there.
Oh, really?
No way.
Yeah. Which is pretty epic, like, effort. We got to Ripple Brook Camp, Granger Station out there. That's a really nice ride.
Out of the Clackamas River.
Yeah. So good. You could push the miles. Like, the river, you just are along the river forever. Anyways, he burned himself out by the time we got to the climbing part, unfortunately. But made the ride all the way out there and all the way back.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
Well, that's intense.
He gave us whiskey when we got down. We had like a 16-hour day.
Good man.
Climbing, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, he's all yelling and excited for us, and I'm just like, I just want to go home. He's like, have some whiskey. I'm like, okay, cool.
All right, then. Home. Yeah. Sometimes whiskey is home.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So then, you know, we were looking at Mount Rainier. You know, it's America, so the next big thing or whatever.
Right.
I mean, whatever, the next best adventure. So
it's the biggest one around, right?
It is. The tallest peak in the Northwest.
Yeah, in the contiguous 48.
Second tallest, I think, behind Mount Whitney.
It's cooler, though. It's a little cooler.
Yeah. I mean, I'm biased. I grew up in Tacoma, and so I lived right underneath it.
Totally, yeah, it's freaking huge. Like,
yeah.
We were... get ahead of ourselves, but we're walking up to it. I'm like, holy fuck, this is like a big mountain. I'm
seriously
used to Mount Tabor, and I'm like, I'm out of breath already.
Well, it looks like, I mean, having been up there, because Adele and I, my wife, we took a bike tour back in 2013 up, we rode from Ohanapakash up to Paradise and then back down towards Longmire.
Nice.
But yeah, just the southern part of Mount Rainier. And when you get up like to the highest point you can drive to, the mountain is still fucking huge. It's like you get there, and usually at that point when you've climbed that much, you're like, okay, there's like a little peak over there or something. But it's still, it's like you have not even climbed the mountain yet. So
it's a big chunk of granite.
Yeah.
Volcanic rock or a little bit of everything, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Massive pyroclastic gas.
Yeah, so it was pretty dope. So we took I think it was just 7 days total, actually, to do the whole thing.
So did you guys go up through the forest, or how'd you get there?
Yeah, we went up through... Wind River.
So yeah, we went out on the on 84, and then up through
the Gifford Pinchot National Forest.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
One of my favorite spots.
Yeah, that hill climb up to what is that? Old Man Pass was like on an afternoon. It was on an afternoon as hot as it is now.
It's like 95 degrees.
It was awful, man. I thought I was like, oh, we'll be in the shade, in the trees. It's totally there's no shade or trees.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And that's north of Carson, which Carson's already kind of up in the hills. But so you kind of think like, oh, I've gotten most of the hill. Like, there'll be hills later, but it attacks you.
It attacks you so much so that, I mean, the helmet came off for me. I was like, I'm going so slow.
Right.
And I'm burning through my head that, like, I'm just taking my helmet off because I'm sweating so much. And then, so we got up there, and then it was a long downhill to the very east end of the Swift River Reservoir area near St. Helens, where we camped. And
that
the
was
goal
a sweet
was,
hill.
Yeah, ride miles and get to a watering hole where and we could jump in and swim.
There you go. Yeah.
And Sam goes really fast downhill, like 40 plus miles an hour. Like
I would say 50. Let's
let's be fair.
I was going to say the Bob Trailer is at least 50 pounds behind you. And so he gets going, man. It's pretty impressive. He just is gone and then down at the bottom of all hills.
Yeah.
Smoking a French cigarette, just being like, what the hell is going on?
Like, why you take so long?
Yeah. I'm like gripping my disc brakes. They're like totally burned out. But
yeah, wow.
But then from, we made our way up to Highway 12, which goes east to west from I-5 over to like White Pass.
Randall and Packwood.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it was blazing hot down there. Had a good experience. I think it was in Packwood where the people in the coffee shop told us of this little place you can camp off the road that there's no campground or anything, and this killer river there that we were able to pitch a tent next to.
Yeah, riverbeds are great because like it's like the high water mark is kind of the area that is usually where you can hang out and not get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
So you find yourself a sandbar,
pretty much
post up. Yeah.
Yep, under some trees.
By the way, is there any more of that homebrew hanging around?
There was.
Someone opened.
I'll just try like
one.
a sip or two.
Are you sure you don't want it in your mug?
Oh, sure.
Oh yeah.
There we go. Sorry, continue. So you're on you're on your way to Mount Rainier.
Yeah, so then we're on our way up to Paradise where we had
thanks, man.
It's kind of hard to like when you go to Jefferson or Mount Adams or St. Helens, you're in the National Forest, so you can camp right by the trailhead where you're going to start the climb.
Right.
But going to Rainier, you're in a national park, so you can't really just
you can't camp
bivy.
Anywhere. Yeah.
You can't just bivy anywhere. So we had to book a night at the Paradise Inn, which sounds real cush, but
it's not.
That room's hotter than his hot box, man. It's nice. You're on a bed, but it is so hot in that room.
Like, it's like a lot of the national parks. Like you go there, and a lot of the facilities are really old, and so they were built kind of before the modern comforts, and there's no Wi-Fi, and it's just like.
Yeah, there's no Wi-Fi.
Why am I here?
Yeah. What are we supposed to do?
I was going to say there's no air conditioning. You guys were like a Wi-Fi, dude.
Like, we couldn't tweet our two followers. Yeah, we're like, exactly. Oh, where are they?
Our mom's worrying about how well we're doing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, then it didn't happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
But, yeah, no, it's just like it's a different experience than, like, your average quality Inn and Suites or something.
Absolutely.
But
I'd rather be outside just with a sleeping bag on the ground.
If only you were allowed to be.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. I mean, we piled on the calories as far as food's concerned there, which was adequate.
Oh, good.
Made our way up, stashed our bikes next to the employee housing, which was nice of them to keep an eye on it.
Because they probably don't have, like, traditional long-term bike parking or anything. Like, there's no...
Yeah. Well, that and we had our bags with, like, all of our biking gear. We're like, well, this weighs half a pound, so we're going to leave it.
Don't want to climb to the top with this.
Right. No, we did carry a Sin Dog all the way up there to the summit, all the way back home. It's in my goddamn freezer.
Still? Yeah. Yeah, it's like 40 pounds.
That should be like your mascot.
This bread is bent to the mountain.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Because like, we had all this food, and we're like, God, I just don't want to eat it.
Right. Like you don't feel like a cinnamon roll at that point.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just like nothing was appealing.
Bars were gone. I mean, we weren't even gone that long, and I eat bars all the time, and I just was done with the bars after 2 days. It was like...
Yeah, we had a big calorie deficit, the which is fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Sick at
hydration,
the altitude.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we drank a ton of water. That's the way to defeat the altitude.
Okay.
Just pound
it actually
the water.
Wasn't too bad. I mean, because we went kind of slow.
And we earned it all the way up. Oh, yeah, this is a decent little story. So on the way up, we are snaking along this really... like kind of steep drop off on one side on the road, you know, cars are going and I'm just pedaling along, and as you do, you're looking down at this asphalt, like wondering, you know, what's going on down there. And I'm weaving around all these little potholes, and I'm like, wow, I wonder what the heck all these potholes are from. And I like look up, and we're riding along a cliff, and I realize all those potholes are from rocks that have rolled off the fucking cliff.
From projectiles,
pounded,
yeah.
Pounded into the pavement.
Right.
And so I've been climbing for many years.
Like, helmet back
on.
And
that's never an objective hazard you ever worry about, like, driving to the mountain.
Right.
And on a bike tour mountaineering trip, it's like the danger, you know, live dangerously.
Seriously.
Starts when you leave your house. I couldn't believe it. It was pretty wild.
Wait, you have a funny story?
Something almost exactly like that.
Okay, so get close to a microphone.
I got hit by rocks.
Yeah, well, I'm a rock climber as well. Nice. So I went bike touring with my rock climbing partner of years. I know it sounds like a marriage, but so it's my first bike tour. And, of course, in our minds, we're like, okay, we need to watch out for cars, bears, dogs and single women, and but nowhere in our minds did we have like falling rocks, and we are between Hillsborough and Astoria, so we're like near Scappoose. We're like we're going diagonal up. I think it's Highway 20. I don't know what the highway was, and the rock climbing instincts kick in anytime you're near a rock and you're like, oh, I would love to fondle that rock right there. How's that rock feeling? So we're going up the highway, and my buddy's ahead of me, Tim. Shout out to Tim up in Alaska. He's going ahead of me, and I start noticing exactly the same thing. Craters in the highway, and you're like, oh, that's not good news. It's like seeing rock fall and saying, I need to watch out above me. Of course, we're wearing helmets. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, keep aware, keep aware. And all I hear is my friend Tim yell, rock! And I look up, and there is a massive rock sloughing off of the cliff, careening right in between us.
Whoa.
And I hear him shriek, and I'm like, oh, shit. And at the same time, we hear a car coming up behind us on this narrow two-lane, like, hairpin turn. And we're like, oh, shit, this is how it ends. The rock shatters on the ground. We swerve around, and the car slows down. Oh, thank goodness for those careful drivers. And after we pass by it, we just look at each other and we're like, thank God we were rock climbers, because that could have really messed up our bikes. We were not thinking about each other's health. Right, we were like, whoa, we could have been shit out of luck for the rest of our tour.
Right. Bikes could have been hosed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, how's my bike?
Frame.
Yeah, and that's my story.
That's wild, man.
Good story, Chris. Yeah, I'm glad you're okay.
I never thought
and
of
your
like,
bike.
Yeah.
I never thought of that, like, you know, riding in, and I've ridden in like rockfall area.
Oh.
Never occurred to me that, oh yeah, there's nothing between me and this rock.
Well, there's also
the helmet's not going to help.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, it's like the helmet doesn't protect your spine. So,
right. Well, I mean, if it craters, you know, asphalt.
Yeah,
I think, like, you know, your little foam helmet's going to.
It's not really going to do much.
Right. Right. It'll help with the victim blaming later, though.
Yes.
If only that helmet had a reflector on it.
Right.
That's right, yeah. By the way, Chris, this is a great beer. Thank you so much.
It is an amazing beer.
Yeah, this is great. The climb itself, Mount Rainier, what's it like to climb?
So we took one of the easier routes just to kind of...
There's no easy on Rainier.
Well, I mean, you have, like, more technical, and this wasn't super technical. But
okay.
We wanted to, like, stack the cards in our favor, give ourselves, you know, more time to get up there to acclimatize, do an easier route as opposed to, you know, get up there and do something really hard because we had been biking quite a long ways. And apparently there are a lot of hills in between here and there that we didn't really know about.
Yeah.
There are some big fucking hills. I'm like, this sucks. Terry's like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I do like hills.
And both are true, really.
Right. Yeah.
This sucks and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Or this is awesome and it sucks.
Yeah, so we hiked all the way up to Camp Muir, where everyone was, like, setting up their tents and making water and stuff.
And that's, like, the base camp for Rainier climbers, right?
Yeah, for that side of the mountain. And I was being a little wimp because my knee hurt the whole time. Because I got my bike fitted, like, 3 days before the trip, which is a mistake.
Ah.
Yeah.
Because you were getting used to like a brand new
setup. It was
setup
brand new, and I'm like, well, I'll go to these guys. They're going to set me up. Everything will be cool.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, but no, it wasn't.
But they didn't set you up like perfectly well.
No, it was like an inch and a half. Anyway.
And it's a matter of degrees where all of a sudden it's just like, you know, you've done this crazy adventure, and now your knees are blown or whatever. So.
Yeah, so I was up there, you know, whining about it, and Terry's like, well, it's cool. And I'm like, God, we've gone a long way just to bitch out at Camp Muir. Right? So I soaked my knee in the snow, and he made water, and we're like, well, we'll just like take a nap in the tent, and then we'll go at like midnight. We're sitting there, it's really hot, and I'm like, dude, why don't we just go now? It was like 6 o'clock. And he's like, well, I guess we could, because we wanted to, again, like get
just
up
start.
Early.
Yeah,
because I mean, I wasn't going to be moving super fast. I have my list of excuses, but anyway, so we ended up leaving at like sunset.
Okay.
And most people leave at midnight or two.
Gotcha.
So we're the first ones up, and we're going up, and it was pretty cool. And we're going all the way like at 12,000 feet. I was in front because Terry's being kind. I mean, you can't. Oh, I should back up. So there's a crevasse that you have to walk across a ladder.
Ooh, okay. Oh, no.
No, I'm with you. And I'm like, we get up there and I look at it and I look down and, you know, you can't see anything because it's dark. And in my mind, it was like 30 feet across, 2 miles deep.
Wow.
And I like put my foot on the ladder and they have like this shitty plywood stuff that's really narrow. And I look back at Terry. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, dude. We can't make it. I'm not going to be able to do it.
We can't do this.
He's like, just go on your hands and knees. I'm like, all right, put your camera away.
Yeah.
So I crawl across.
Eyes shut.
I have footage.
You do? Anyway, so I had to do that both ways. So we go, again, we're back up at like 12,000 feet, and I have my flashlight, my headlight looking up on, you know, towards the summit, and I see these green eyes running down the hill, like in the boot pack, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, Terry. He's like, what? I'm like, I'm going to give this dude like the right of way. So I like step out of the path of the, you know, because you have a boot pack. So I step off and I'm like, this guy's hauling ass.
And we're kind of hallucinating from heat and tired.
Altitude.
Right.
And altitude. And
Terry's just like, what's wrong with you?
I was like, what? There's a guy up here at this hour coming down? That doesn't seem right.
It didn't make any sense. So anyway, it turned out it was this black fox.
Ah.
It was hauling balls down this hill. In my mind, it was at least 20 feet long.
Yeah.
But it seriously
it was like
had
the biggest,
green eyes.
It was like the fox squatch.
Exactly. It was the fox squatch.
Dude, it was really scary. And Terry's like, well, I'm glad you're not like totally, you know, you don't have pace or anything.
Right, right.
Yeah. So we just keep going up and we cross like a bunch of crevasses that you can't see down, which is awesome because it's actually kind of scary.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
we get up to the top. And it's like 3 miles. I don't know. What is it? A half mile?
It's a half mile. Yeah.
It feels like 4 miles across to like the true crater. Summit.
Okay.
Yeah,
the
there's this big
flat,
crater.
And you come up on one side and the true summit's on the other side. So you kind of have to tunnel across that to get up.
Okay.
So we get to the bottom and I'm like, God, I am tired. I'm like, this counts, right? He's like, well, let's just chill out for a second. Because it looked like it was another mile to the top when really I think it was...
A couple hundred feet.
Yeah, it was like 100 feet.
Okay, right. So but everything's skewed at that point. You're just like...
We're totally zonked by this hour.
Pushed myself so hard,
We've been up for a long time.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, he's like, well, let's just go. So we go up to the top. It's super windy. You can't tell where anything... But it was awesome.
But you were there.
Yeah, so we made it to the top just screaming at each other how
wind
awesome
was.
Can
you believe it? We're on a mountain.
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay. It was just like that. Yeah, so we turn around, we just go back down. I mean, it was kind of cool to be the first people on the summit that day.
Yeah.
Plus, like...
That's a distinction.
Yeah, and internally I'm like, I feel that I'm better because I rode my bike here.
Right. And well, you should.
Yeah. I mean, so, not like bright, but it feels more real or more, not important, but it feels
that makes
more
sense.
Deserved.
Mm-hmm. Again,
like
you
having,
earned it.
Having ice cream after watching a movie, you're like, well, yeah, this tastes good. But if, you know, you go for a long hike or you go for a long bike
ice
ride.
Ice cream after walking 5 miles to the parlor.
Yes. Exactly. I mean, if you cross the street to get the ice cream, it tastes better than if someone delivers it.
That's correct.
There you go.
Which is a business idea.
Right.
Yeah. So we just haul ass on the way down. And the light up there was awesome.
Yeah.
They were super pretty light. And we had some crevasses. And he gave me a little shit for, like, crossing them kind of slowly.
Okay.
What time did you get up there? We got up there, like, maybe...
Right. right before sunrise.
Yeah,
so
like
I don't know what
three
time.
Or four.
Yeah, it was like mid-July, right before sunrise. It was just like in the eastern sky. It was still pretty dark.
It was super
still
dope.
Pretty dark up there. Yeah, I mean, one of the nice things about mountaineering is you kind of have to do a lot of it at night.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
it's part of the deal.
Yeah, but when that sun comes up, you get this new life in you because you've like been trudging through this just headlamp zone. And then that new light, that sun, that new day is just
right.
Like, it's pretty. It gives you another boost. So
it was super awesome.
Yeah.
It made it all worth it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Can I direct this selfishly for just a moment? Because I'm going to try, actually on Thursday, I'm going to try an overnight ride from here to Tacoma. So I feel like there's probably a similarity between that and climbing a mountain at night. Like do you have any tips, like psychologically, how do you keep yourself fresh when you're climbing at night?
Yeah. Well, bring snacks that you like for
okay.
sure.
So I beer.
Mean, yeah, exactly. No,
do not. That's not a good thing.
Okay.
Not during.
Right.
What time are you going over the highway, the Rainier Bridge?
I'm not. I'm actually going to go up through Vancouver.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah. And I figured out.
Found a route.
Yeah. So you don't have to go over a fence or what?
As far as I know. The fence that they built to keep us all out.
Check your route.
See right. if your wife, like, you know, barrels off really fast.
Yeah.
She's pissed at you for breaking your chain.
Yeah, I know. I've done the ride itself like 5 or 9 times or something like that over the years. But it's always been over the course of 2 or 3 days or right. something like that. And so this is the first time I've ever tried to go that distance all at one in one go. My sister's graduating at 10 a.m. the next morning. So I'm going to try and push through.
I think as long as you're well lit and you're safe, I think you'll have fun with it, especially in temperatures like this. I really enjoy hiking at night.
Yeah.
I mean,
and if I don't know what the moon, I don't know what the lunar cycle is coming up, but if you get a full moon, you'll super enjoy it.
So we've just had the full moon, right? Is that?
It's waning.
Last week.
Waning gibbous?
Yeah. So.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Throw big words out.
But yes, that's okay. Cool. That helps. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you'll be.
Okay.
I think you'll have
treats that you like.
Okay. I do like treats.
Yeah, I would say not to bring a sin dog because you'll just carry it the whole ride.
Gotcha. Okay.
Give him your sin dog.
Apparently, he needs to go on
another trip.
Yeah.
It's only a year old.
It's been frozen. So
I think we should just see how many miles we can log onto this sin dog.
Seriously. Yeah. I'll keep it in the freezer when I get up there.
That's right. Exactly. Don't let it get below 55 degrees.
I just know that I'm a big fan of the sin dog. I feel like I would eat it. I don't think I'm the right person to.
You're not responsible for
it. Yeah.
Check Brock's not responsible for sin dogs.
Dave's killer bread. Really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
It is good.
So did you guys ride back to Portland then from the mountain? Or?
Yeah. So
okay.
actually. We,
so this really, you really did earn it.
Yeah, no, we walked down all the way. They like closed the direct way back to the bikes, which was kind of lame. Anyway, so we walk all around and.
No, but we went back to camp. To our tent.
Yeah, I forgot about
and just
that.
Packed that up because it was blazing hot and then just headed back down to Paradise. So okay. Paradise is where the cars are parked and where the bikes were. Camp Muir is up a couple thousand feet.
Yeah.
And so we kind of got down back to the tents and we're like, we're not hanging out here. We're going to head down.
Let's get out of here.
We're still moving. So we haven't really slept yet since
the previous day.
Before, so.
Yeah. Wait, yeah. So this is what, 36 hours up then?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long haul.
That's pretty impressive.
So we crushed a bunch of food, packed all of our crap. So then. While we're in Paradise, I'm talking.
Putting our bikes back together and getting all our stuff ready. Because now we're back where the bikes are, and it's only middle of the afternoon.
Right.
And we're like, well, let's get down to Abbotsford, which is this little, like,
yeah.
climbing village. Like, you know, like Jim Whittaker has his little base camp there. Lots of beer, better food.
Oh, beautiful.
And trees to sleep under.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we're like, let's get down there. And so we pack, and it's all downhill. So we were like, let's pack up. And then Sam got a call from...
Yeah, I got a call from my ex that, like, the dog, you know, our dog that we had for, you know, 7 or 8 years...
together.
...just died. Or died, like, 2 days before.
That's tough news to get when you're out.
Yeah. So they had known. Everyone had known, but they didn't want to say anything until we got back.
Until you were, like, off the peak, at least.
Yeah. So I wanted to go see him because, you know, they can't hold on to the dog forever, apparently.
Sure.
So it's like, Terry, what do you think about if we just ride home tomorrow? But it's like 180 miles or something the way we came.
Oh, okay.
So it was 150 the way back. So he's
like, nice, nice.
Fuck it, dude, let's go.
Fuck it, dude. Let's go biking.
Yeah. No, so it was very nice. So we just hauled. We made it like 50 miles or something, 40 miles that night. And we get to some town. We're like.
Morton.
Where was it?
Morton.
I do like. I like Morton.
Yeah, we don't. We get there. Oh.
Okay.
Not that we don't like it.
No, they had really good Mexican food.
Yeah, the Mexican place there is good.
Shit. So we get there and we're like, well, there's obviously going to be a hotel.
Or a campground.
Or a campground. They're like, no, the hotel is all full.
Oh.
And they're like, there's a campground this way, but it's like 20 miles the wrong direction.
Sam's knees acting up.
Yeah. I was being a little wimp about it. So we like. Well, what the fuck are we going to do?
And we've almost been up for 48 hours.
Yeah, and we're kind of, I mean, it was a big day. We had a big day. So I end up calling my then girlfriend, and I'm like, so, what are you doing tonight? She's like, well, I just got off work. I'm like, so, do you want to come to Morton?
Want to come to Morton, Washington?
Yeah, she's like, yeah, okay. She was down. So she drove up, and we just parked our bikes in front of that Mexican restaurant, and I got properly lit.
There you go.
And we ate a lot of good food. And she came. She picked us up. We found a hotel back in...
Randall.
Okay. Back, way up there.
Yeah.
So awesome. East.
Yeah, so we're going the wrong direction. But anyway, she takes us up there. We get some really awesome rooms.
Not really.
No, they were horrible.
Okay.
But who cares?
I didn't care at all.
It was dark and there was a bed in it.
Yeah.
I think I was the only one in my bed. I don't know.
Yeah, there might have been some fleas. So in the morning, we go to like this little diner and they have the best cinnamon rolls with like this big stick of butter on top of it.
Wow.
And we just destroy. I don't know how much.
That's why we didn't need the Sindo.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why.
That no makes a lot
to Dave's
more sense.
Killer bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very nice. So I think she even brought some cookies. And then she drove us back to the Mexican restaurant and said, see ya. And we rode home.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you got the assist, but you didn't take the ride all the way home.
Right. Yeah, so we got the assist. Like, we just need help. Back to where we were. Because it's kind of, I don't know why.
Man. We needed to complete the circle. On
yeah.
That.
I didn't want to. Okay. I mean, on one hand, I was kind of like, the car looks really comfy.
But we've gotten this far.
We've gotten this far.
Yeah.
And
wow.
So we did 120 miles that day.
That's pretty stout.
Yeah. Much respect for that.
Yeah, it was pretty... And then we got flats, like, right by the Burgerville on Highway 30.
Skapoose.
Like, as soon as you got back to, like, the Portland metro area.
Yeah.
Like, my equipment's been fine.
30-30 never lets you down, you know?
And that's exactly what happened to me last summer when I came back from our tour. Like, we'd gone all the way to Glacier National Park, and we came back. It was, like, 7 weeks or whatever. Yeah, and then, like, I get to the airport, like, Airport Way or whatever, and that's when it goes... Like, so close I could taste it, you know? Right. Just like, yeah.
Luckily, the Max is there.
Yeah, and that's what I did.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
No, so we were just hauling as much as we could. And then Terry pointed out my food choices were wrong. Maybe I should talk about this.
Yeah, well, things not to do.
Things not to do. This is a pro tip. You don't get a Coke, a vitamin water, a chocolate milk, and coconut.
Even though your brain says you want that.
And like some Doritos.
Not a great mixture.
At the Chevron.
The only solid in that is Doritos. Yeah. It's all like all these liquids.
Sugared liquids. Right?
Terry's like,
goo.
Dude, I don't, you got something, whatever. And I'm like, I'll be fine, dude. So we're going, and then it didn't go fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I wouldn't go in the woods over there.
I see. Okay.
So, anyway, that's my poo story.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
I've got a few of those myself.
Yeah.
Did you know you could make underwear out of paper towels?
Well, we didn't have
listen
paper
to
towels,
some back episodes.
Or we were out of all of that, so I had to use my giblet covers.
Uh-oh. Hashtag simpler living.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's a... Good times.
Anyway, so we at home.
Congratulations. Well, you guys are certifiably badass. I mean, you had that title long before we talked to you, but let us confirm that this is fantastic. Thank you for telling the story.
Oh, thanks.
This is really great.
Appreciate the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys do an awesome job on the Sprocket.
Oh, shucks.
It's phenomenally cool.
Well, you know who really does a good job? This guy.
We got mail. I wanted to do it.
Hey, we got mail.
I'm not ready.
I'll start out with Johnny K. He says, I'm going to have to listen to this episode again because I could have sworn I heard someone call out my name, but I was so mesmerized by the professor, I was not entirely paying attention. Hey, I seen a tall bike rider on the MS-150 charity ride a few years ago. It was really cool to watch him change gears since it was a fixie. He had to flip the bike upside down. It's a tall bike. Take off the back wheel and swap the sprocket on the back wheel. All I have to say is, hey, be different. Why be a cookie cutter? Life is too damn short to be like everyone else. If you're not special, make yourself special.
And you are special.
And you know what? You
Each
are special.
Each and every one of you.
Exactly. So make yourself rad.
Make yourself extra special. Next up, Tim Mooney. Oh, sorry.
I just, yeah.
Shit. Next up, Tim Mooney sends in some My Monument pictures. And although he, disclaimer, he did not take any or pose for any of these pictures.
No. But this is, if you guys are not familiar, apparently the Washington Monument is great.
Great fodder for,
you know,
being phallic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was off the hook last
week. And I could picture what it was that you were talking about, but I never like really quite understood exactly how graphic it appears to be.
Looking at the pictures that Tim Mooney sent in, like I'm like small time. I wasn't trying hard enough.
Hey, it was Lost Arrow Spire in Yosemite National
you're
Park.
You're saying you're small time?
No, it wasn't. Oh, no, it was all just the Washington Monument.
Oh,
but my favorite was. Some guy was able to pose naked in front of it.
Right. I don't know how that happened. That was pre-9/11.
Must have been.
No, but also, did you say that?
Yes.
You were small time?
Yes, I'm small time.
And it was really
time.
Hard. Okay. Just wanted to highlight that. Okay.
I'm just glad my employer doesn't listen to this.
John sends us a high wheeler on a Prius's bike rack, and I don't know if you guys have seen this photo, but it's pretty fantastic. So we will post that up.
Oh, I haven't seen.
Yeah, yeah. It's hipster as fuck. oh, here we go. I got it up now. Check this. High wheeler is like one of the old before the safety bicycle. The high wheeler was just the enormous wheel, the big circular penny farthing. Exactly.
Farthing,
yeah.
They've actually got one of those over at UBI, and I asked to ride it.
Oh, and Imgur is over capacity.
Oh no!
All right then. We'll show you this picture later.
Damn you, Reddit!
I know. Seriously.
Marcus in the UK, just checking in as promised with an update on the bike rebuild. Shining up my 1986 bike for a vintage bike event in Bakewell, Derbyshire this month.
Yeah, and he wrote in a while back saying, "Hey, I'm going to do this," right. and he did, and it's getting pretty great.
The pig's ear I was making of it is basically what they say in Northern England instead of complete fuck up.
Ah, gotcha.
As nearly put right, I should have done it on the road this weekend. Only 2 weeks to go.
I should have it on the road this weekend.
That's what I said.
Oh.
That's not what I said.
Why don't we do it in the road? Seriously. but I'm super excited about this race he's about to do and the pig's ear whole thing. Like I feel like I still need more clarification because what? How does pig's ear equate to fuck up?
What is the etymology of this?
Or do I want to know? I don't think I do. Glenn from Arrowstone Island. This is in response to, we were talking about, a firebombing of the woods in Oregon back in World War II?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and he says, during World War II, the standard Japanese submarines had a hangar behind the conning tower that could hold a float plane with folding wings. It was put in the water and retrieved with a cargo boom. This only worked in relatively calm seas. In the Brookings case, that's Brookings, Oregon, on the southern Oregon coast, the sub surfaced out of sight from shore to launch the plane. And if anybody knows about boats, it's Glenn from Marrowstone Island, because that guy's a fucking pirate. So,
when's Pirate Month?
Pirate Month is coming up. Yeah, seriously. It might be right now.
Boat month has turned into boat month and a half.
Yeah.
Right on the new Max line. What the hell?
What boats are these?
You mean the ships?
No, it's like the
Dragon boats.
No, the boats that are along the new Max line, where we are.
The rusted iron.
It's called sculpture.
They're art,
oh,
yeah.
Oh,
that's okay. Art.
Yeah.
Although there's that fake Twitter account that somebody sent us, the PDX Public boats, art. I think.
Public oh, yes.
Yeah, it's a bunch of cynical things about transit and art funding and whatnot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
All right, let's wrap this show up, shall we? Gentlemen, thank you so much. Again, let's go around the room and say thanks to everybody. So, Chris Gonzalez, good to have you in town. Thank you so much. Good luck with UBI.
Thank you.
Yes, Terry, thank you for coming in and being a badass.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Sean, thanks for all the beer.
Thanks for sponsoring our drinks.
Sam,
we enjoy
thanks
it.
For being a badass and having a sweet scar. Mr. Flores, thank you for taking over the show for 6 weeks. I'm
gonna
miss
this. Holy shit. It's coming up next week.
Oh, hey. And it's Aaron Delaney outside.
Get on Skype.
Yeah. And what's it like out there?
Hang on.
It's Aaron Delaney with the weather.
Hang on.
You're going to call him up.
Aaron Delaney with the weather.
He's just doing circles.
He's coming back.
We'll see if he picks up.
Voicemail is full.
Serious, that's what happened last week.
Seriously, I listen. The show's awesome.
I do appreciate it. I don't know how many sponsors actually listen to the show.
It's super fun. Yeah.
How many sponsors?
And I'm really...
He's the only.
No, like you're one of our sponsors. And
100% sponsor listenership.
I do find it inspiring, though. I do more adventurous stuff. So it is like, I want to kayak to Astoria, for sure.
Oh, yeah, just like Brian Benson did.
Yeah,
that.
I thought that was awesome, man. That just sounded like you get to see towns from another angle.
Hey, Aaron Delaney, how are you?
Hello?
Oh, sorry about that. Turned up the volume and everything. Hey, just wanted to, we saw you outside, so we want to ask how the weather is out there.
It's so hot.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. It must be sweltering. If only there was some air-conditioned place with a microphone in it that you could be.
Oh.
Yeah, come on in. All right.
It's not air conditioned. It's so hot in here.
It's way hotter in here than it is out there.
It was cool.
No, this is harder for me than it is for you. Okay.
I think it's hardest on our listeners right now.
Seriously.
But what?
We got seven
now,
bro.
We got the record. We got the record.
Yes, new record.
Fanfare. Fanfare.
Okay. Sure. How about a? I don't know. One of those. All right. This has been a very long show, and it wouldn't be a great show for me unless it was a long show. So, all right. Let's close this thing out.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurt Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors.
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Compenia, John Blood,
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Nose,
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jacobson, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Chris DeSukis,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, and Chris Gonzalez. All right, everybody give a big woo to end the show.
Listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.